time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Wednesday. I am Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant.
I like that hey, 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 formerly of Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. You have just appropriated it.
My allergies are kicking today, so if I sound like I smoke a pack a day, that's why. But we are
smoke Marlboro Reds.
I'm sure you do.
No, I don't.
Have you ever smoked a cigarette?
No, because most of my grandparents died from smoking. So thanks for bringing that up.
That got dark very quickly. I have, but you being on the Tom Brady diet, masshole, East Coast.
Yeah. There was one time that I thought I was smoking a marijuana cigarette, and it turned out it was a real cigarette. Took a huge drag from it, and I could basically not speak the next day.
You were that guy.
But my grandmother... bless her heart, my Nana, who passed away when I was like 10, 11, yeah. 12 or so, she, 5 foot nothing of her, would be ripping like an entire carton of Marlboro Reds a day and drinking Bud Heavies. And she's this tiny 5 foot nothing, like 98 pound masshole with this raspy voice. She was great. She was delightful. But
it's
yeah.
It's chewing tobacco in my family.
Okay. Chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Okay. So allergies, not fun. I have them too.
Nope.
Endorsement opportunities? Possibly you.
Yeah. Let us know if you're a doctor that deals with allergies. Denver dealing with a new quarterback and Seattle dealing with the fallout of what was, I mean, a lot of people that have covered sports for a very long time called it one of the craziest days in the NFL.
Yes.
All of the attention was on Aaron Rodgers, which is exactly how he wanted it. And then about, what, an hour and a half after that announcement is made, I'm at the gym, I'm on the treadmill, and it pops up on ESPN because I stay fit. Hey,
nice.
Guys. Hey, guys. It pops up on ESPN that Russell Wilson is heading to Denver.
I saw this as well. And
this is a former Seattle radio host next to me, by the way.
Right. So I just ended up sitting down on the couch, staring at my phone, looking at it for a good 2 hours. It's very surprising because it was not too long ago that I think a lot of people were of the belief that, maybe Russell Wilson's not the best quarterback in the NFL. But he's one of the top five. He's definitely at least worthy of putting in the same conversation a couple of years ago as Patrick Mahomes, if not better. But I guess the Seahawks don't feel that way anymore, and the Broncos clearly do. So the haul, Vanessa, for Russell Wilson, the Broncos get Russell Wilson and a fourth-round pick. The Seahawks get 2 first-round picks, including this year's draft, the 9th pick. The 2 second-round picks. A 5th-round pick, tight end Noah Fant, good player. Defensive lineman Shelby Harris, good player. And quarterback Drew Lock, bad. So a massive haul in exchange for a guy who, not too long ago, trending into his mid-30s, was considered one of the league's best. But over the last 2 years or so, Vanessa, right in front of me, has not quite looked like that guy of late. And I think the question is this a sign of decline or does he just need a little divorce from Pete Carroll to live his best life again?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it's a completely different situation than like Matt Stafford because Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl. But when you look at Matt Stafford, at Matthew Stafford and the way that he was able to adjust to the team around him, a change of scenery, different weapons, a new regime, and how much he improved to the point to where obviously he won a Super Bowl. It's not the same thing because Russell Wilson did not go without winning a playoff game for 16 years, but you get my point. I think there could be an element of change for Russell Wilson that he's been wanting for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think that he could find himself in a situation in Denver where he likes who he's surrounded with more. And look, at this point, it was what it was. They released Bobby Wagner as well. So a monumental day in Seattle.
They really pressed the reset button.
They really did. And it's clear that, look, I wouldn't have pegged them to do that just because Pete Carroll is 70 years old. I don't think he's somebody that wants a rebuild.
I don't either.
But at the end of the day, it's not his choice.
No, but it could have been. That they made it their choice, that they did this when they don't have to. Because Russell Wilson is still under contract with the Seahawks. Is something. I feel like it means they believe he's not that guy anymore. Because no matter how annoying Russell Wilson might have been, and folks, as someone who was there,
yeah,
good God.
Not a fan.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers was bad? Russell Wilson was complaining about a lot of these things, but not actually putting his name on it. And he is a guy that if you take a look at historically, ask any of the key members of the Seattle Seahawks over the past decade how they feel about him. They probably won't go on record with how they feel about him, but if you're at a bar and you're just talking to them privately, they will tell you stories. He was a man apart from that locker room always. He is a man that constantly talks about his legacy. He is essentially as close to an NBA star in the player empowerment era in football as you're going to get. I just didn't think the Seahawks would decide, you know what, we've had enough, we're tired of this, we'll move on from him, because he is still conceptually a great quarterback, and you just don't trade great quarterbacks. But I guess Russ annoyed his way out of town. And props to him. We'll see if things work out for him in Denver, a team that a lot of people seem to like roster-wise. And he now joins one of the toughest divisions quarterback-wise we've seen in NFL history.
Yeah, they're calling it the AFC best. Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers. Here's the thing about the Broncos in this division. I do think that they're probably the most balanced. If you look at the Chiefs, who are probably going to lose Tyrann Mathieu, he's testing the market. That's the latest on, you know, on free agency with him.
Anyone who watched him here is probably like, yeah, whatever. And he played well in Kansas City the first season.
Yeah, the Chargers, you know, looking to improve their defense for sure. The Raiders showed some great spurts, but at the end of the day, they are what they are.
And they chose Josh McDaniels, too, instead of the coach who was the interim guy at the end of last year. It feels right. Like it killed
and
a lot of momentum.
It did, because that locker room loved Rich Bisaccia.
Yes.
Like, all those guys would run through a wall for him. So I definitely think them picking the coach that literally skipped out on the Colts head coaching job, decommitted.
Good choice, though.
Good choice for the Colts, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that they are the Broncos are the most well-balanced team going into 2022 in that division. Now, what we've seen sometimes is it's not always the best, the most balanced team that gets it done. Injuries happen. Things happen.
The Chargers choke all the time,
this
too.
This is going to be the division to watch.
Yeah, it will be. I'm pretty excited to see how it factors into the just grand scheme of things in the AFC. If you're a Texans fan, this definitely sucks from this perspective. Here's another team in the AFC that has a quarterback. And if you take a look at all of the teams that have quarterbacks, Vanessa, right now, okay, the entire AFC West, every single one of those quarterbacks is at least a plus quarterback. No matter how you might feel about Derek Carr, he has been solid over the course of his career. Right.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, a lot of potential there. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson in that division as well. AFC East, Josh Allen, and Mac Jones, solid. And then, of course, you have in the AFC North, a guy who has won an MVP before in Lamar Jackson. Pittsburgh, not so good. Cincinnati, they have Joe Burrow. It is a loaded, loaded conference when it comes to quarterbacks. Maybe just not in the AFC South, because Trevor Lawrence is the only guy that you look at and think, okay, this guy has some untapped potential, unless you are the biggest Davis Mills stan of all time or his parents.
Well, his mom's nice, though.
She's really nice?
He's like really good
moms
parents.
Moms are great.
Moms are great. So
Davis Mills might not be.
long neck. There was a lot of talk yesterday, too, about how this could impact Deshaun Watson, and we'll definitely get into some of the media wars in a couple of segments about how everything was kind of contradicting. Some reporters were contradicting other reporters. But we have Adam Schefter, who talked about the Seahawks yesterday and how this might actually kind of increase their chances to possibly get Deshaun Watson should the legal issues get resolved.
Right. I saw some tweets about this, so I went and watched NFL Live, and here is Adam Schefter weighing in on how the Seahawks could potentially be interested in Deshaun Watson. What?
I don't think they're out of the mix at all. And in fact, in talking to people around the league today, they wouldn't be surprised. Seattle's got added ammunition. Maybe they jump into the Deshaun Watson race at some point in time, depending on what happens with his legal situation.
So, as far as what the Seahawks have to offer right now, you have to wonder, okay, well, what is it that they can give? Because remember, when they made that Jamal Adams trade, they didn't have a first-round pick in this year's draft. So, they got the Broncos' first-round pick, that ninth overall pick. Is that something that you would want? Do you want those second-round picks? Do you want essentially the same haul that the Broncos gave the Seahawks for Deshaun Watson? But I I really do wonder if Seattle would be willing to make a move like this. I don't say they will not be willing to make a move like this. This is a team that has taken on guys with checkered histories, whether it's Josh Gordon trading for Marshawn Lynch, trading for Michael Bennett, same GM in charge. This is a team that also drafted Frank Clark, didn't care about some of the stuff that was going on at Michigan with him, didn't care about Jaron Reed, who had a sexual assault, sexual domestic dispute, something like that, allegation against him, was suspended 6 games by the NFL, second-round pick by the Seahawks. Like, this is a team that hasn't exactly stayed away from the guys that you would expect to maybe a lot of other teams in the league to say no, no, no to. So, you know, if you're the Texans, I think you're definitely picking up the phone and you're making a call to John Schneider, the general manager of the Seattle Seahawks, and you're trying to convince him, like, look, we think this thing is going to go pretty well. We'll see what happens on Friday in the deposition.
And I've said before that I don't believe Deshaun Watson's legal team and his agent, David Mulugeta, who had said that they were not having any conversations with any teams until everything legal was resolved.
BS.
I don't believe that at all. I think that they are certainly talking to multiple teams and probably behind the scenes, and they're probably playing out different scenarios. So if the deposition goes this way on Friday, this is what happens. If it gets drawn out and goes into free agency, here's how we'll approach it. But I don't believe that they're not talking to anybody.
You're 100% right. I mean, just like you said, the Seahawks and Broncos were working this deal out for months because this was the only team that Russell Wilson wanted to go to.
And it didn't really leak.
Right.
That's the thing, is that, like, I, as much as I love insiders and media and all of that, like, there are some things that really don't leak, and this is one of those things. I don't know where the conversations happen. We've talked about this. Sometimes it's 11 p.m. at a bar. And this genuinely, I actually was impressed that this stayed close to the vest.
I'll give the Seahawks credit for this. The Seahawks don't talk.
Yeah.
They don't talk. And we'll play audio later in the show where they will also just outright lie when they have a microphone in front of their face. I remember there were many times sitting face-to-face with Pete Carroll after a Seahawks game where you'd ask him a question. I asked him point blank to his face, hey, so what's Brian Schottenheimer's future? Oh, you know, we're committed to Brian Schottenheimer. He literally fired him later that day. So, I mean, it's one of the things that happens in this league.
You can never believe men in football, or you can remove
you can
football.
Believe men, though. Well, that sounds, you sound so spurned there. Come on. I know you have allergies and stuff, but let's not get the day off on a bad start. Oh, all men, they suck. I get it. I didn't say happy International Women's Day yesterday.
Yeah, you My didn't bad. Say happy International Women's Day.
But it was
Day.
International Women's Day during International Women's, wait, during Women's Month, too? Is March Women's Month?
This makes me a bad woman. I actually don't know.
I don't either. So it would be like, you know, International Women's Day in Women's Month.
You should celebrate me every day. That sounded HR.
Hey.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, how does Russell Wilson going to Denver and Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay possibly impact the Texans? That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Wednesday. I'm
yes.
Vanessa Richardson. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He is Paul Gallant at Gallant Says. And, hey, here in Houston, when all that quarterback news happened yesterday, it obviously led into how does this impact Deshaun Watson? How does this impact the Texans' ability to trade, possibly, should the legal issues get resolved?
Hey, Vanessa, how dare you bring that up? He's still facing trial.
I've heard that a million times.
Right, a lot of people were saying that. Look, I think John and Lance laid it up pretty well this morning. You talk about these things.
Right, you do.
It's Sports Talk Radio.
The way that I looked at it was not only Deshaun Watson, but how does it impact all of the quarterback situation in, like, the AFC South?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the Colts have been interested in trading Carson Wentz. Will that happen? We know that Deshaun Watson, a huge domino in this quarterback carousel. But yeah, it certainly makes things interesting. So how does Russell Wilson heading to Denver from Seattle impact the Texans' ability to trade Deshaun Watson? And was the haul that Denver had to give comparative to what the Texans would receive?
I think it's comparative to what they expect, but it wasn't that long ago, Vanessa, where we were seeing, okay, they want 5 to 7 pieces, but they want 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Washington football team, the Washington Commanders, were the team that actually offered Seattle 3 first-round picks. But There's that no trade clause. The no trade clause is something I'm sure that Russell Wilson wanted to use when he saw that god-awful organization, you know? And I would imagine that would be something that Deshaun Watson would do the exact same thing with. This isn't just a matter of, hey, can you find a team that is going to be willing to, you know, maybe look the other way? It's also a matter of finding a team that Deshaun Watson wants to play for. Because I don't think we've gotten to the point right now where Watson is going to play wherever he possibly can. I don't think we're quite there. Friday, we might be in a different place after the deposition, but not now.
Yeah, Friday, of course, that grand jury convenes as well. So a lot expected to happen. Rusty Harden, of course, telling multiple media members that he's just going to have Deshaun plead the fifth.
Yeah, and so not surprising.
We don't surprise, you know, we don't figure to, we're not fixing to
look at you.
Yeah, no.
My we're allergies. Not fixing to know what's going on.
We
I don't even know if I use that right.
Yet.
All these people are like these Yankee bastards, carpetbaggers, stealing our jobs. Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, so obviously Aaron Rodgers deciding to stay in Green Bay after a year and a half of drama. And then he complicated the matter. So here's what was so funny.
he's the worst.
He is. We've talked about the media wars with this because Pat McAfee is actually the one that broke the story.
Right.
Like, Pat had it first, yet ESPN credited NFL Network first. Mm-hmm. NFL Network credited themselves. It was actually Pat McAfee. And I get why, you know, they're like, oh, we're the legit, but like, Pat is getting
legit?
The info from Aaron.
And who is legit anymore, honestly? I totally agree. I think it is funny how ESPN still, and I guess we're ESPN 97.5, but ESPN still like walks around, strutting around like the bell of the ball. Things have changed a little bit.
They have.
You aren't the only player in town anymore. But Aaron Rodgers, who I think part of him was annoyed by the fact that Russell Wilson stole all of his thunder on this day.
He's an attention hog.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that based off the fact that the Broncos were trying to trade for Russell Wilson and trying to make this deal happen for I guess, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, Rodgers might have thought to himself, oh, wow, so I wasn't target number one? And there's a little beef between these two. I don't know if you're aware of it, and I think it definitely comes from Rodgers' side of things, but Rodgers has thrown shade publicly at Russell Wilson before, and Wilson is not somebody that actually takes these head-on or talks about these head-on, but Russell Wilson is a competitive person, and I feel like he definitely feels very happy about the fact that he completely stole Rodgers' thunder. So this sounds like someone that felt like his thunder was stolen, saying this, hey, everyone.
This is on Twitter, by the way.
Correct. He went to Twitter for this. Hey, everyone, just wanted to clear some things up. Yes, I will be playing with the Packers next year. However, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate, as are the supposed terms of the contract I signed, in quotation marks. Surprised he didn't say fake news or something like that. The liberal media, after and again, with their mask mandates. I'm very excited to be back.
So, but this happened, mind you, after Ian Rappaport reported that the deal was for 4 years, $200 million, $153 guaranteed. And then Pat McAfee tweets and says that's not an accurate number. So in my mind, this was almost Aaron Rodgers, not that he cares about having Pat McAfee's back, but this was him saying Pat's right. The contract has not been signed. The terms have not been. Now, why does it matter? I don't think he would have cared if Russell Wilson wasn't getting all that attention.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like
with you.
He had to take himself back from being the B-block story to the A-block
story.
Hey,
everybody, remember me? And it doesn't make it happen unless you
right.
want to make him the A-block story for. Who is the biggest attention whore in sports? Aaron Rodgers. It is Aaron Rodgers. So, okay, these two things happened yesterday,
Not
Vanessa.
Good for the Texans.
You don't think it's good for the Texans?
Well, for trading Deshaun, maybe, but the AFC is the AFC.
The AFC looks brutal.
If you're Aaron Rodgers, hell yeah, you stay in the NFC.
Yes, you don't. You don't want to go to the Tennessee Titans anymore like he maybe thought he wanted to, or the Denver Broncos, or something like that. And, you know, something that I know the Killer Bees have really embraced, the show on After Us with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, where they say embrace the suck. You take a look at the AFC now, and you see all those quarterbacks, and you think to yourself, okay, well, it affects the Texans from this perspective. Maybe they should be a little bit more willing to embrace the suck now that there's another great quarterback in conference. I mean, what are you really competing for right now? Maybe you aren't so gung-ho, excited, extravagant in free agency, going after all sorts of different players. Not that many would probably want to come here either. But I saw also this thread, Vanessa, on Texans Reddit. And Reddit's an interesting place. You know, you have some psychotic takes.
I can't see. My sister goes down the rabbit hole on Reddit.
I do too.
Yeah.
I like to read the comments to just get a feel for, like, wait, Am I crazy or are these people crazy? And sometimes,
well, it's usually both.
Yes, exactly. But in this situation, this person angrily wrote something along the lines of, "Yeah, now that Aaron Rodgers has signed this contract, Deshaun Watson's value's gone way up, and I don't care what you say." He was so aggressive about it, and I suppose so. 4-year, $160 million deal compared to what could be, you know, a 4-year, $200 million deal. But I don't think that people are looking at Watson's deal as a bargain, especially when you have the thing hanging over him right now. Nothing with Watson is a bargain. Nothing with Watson should mean that they are going to get the Texans the same haul as the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson is the squeaky cleanest image that there
is. That's true.
Something that he personally polishes himself every single day by saying absolutely nothing and talking in very long run-on sentences and smiling all the time.
And doing TikToks.
Right.
Where he's like faith, family, football.
And then also there's the fourth one where he's just being horny. And he's like, hey, what's up, Ciara? Hey. He is very horny online. He needs a bonk from time to time.
Yeah, but they're married. They're like cute Christian marriage. Like,
I don't blame him for being horny, though. Ciara's a beautiful woman. Yes.
She's something. All right, so Ian Rappaport on NFL Network yesterday was talking about how this could relate to Deshaun Watson,
yes,
particularly the Seahawks, and how this could actually increase the market for number four.
His market is still robust. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when he is on the field. Obviously did not play last year while the Houston Texans sorted his situation out. This is coming, and among the teams who are expected to have interest in Deshaun Watson, the Carolina Panthers, who've had interest really throughout, perhaps the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they could be interested as well. And there's a team in Seattle who may be interested. They have a quarterback need as well now.
Seattle definitely is an interesting one because I do think, just like with the Bucs, that is one that Watson would waive his no-trade clause for. And they are structurally in pretty good shape despite some of the moves that happened yesterday. I know a lot of people are looking at the Bobby Wagner move, the release of him, and as someone who watched the Seahawks the last 2 years, Bobby Wagner frustrated me beyond belief. He's a Hall of Fame player, but I don't know how he kept on getting first-team All-Pros, just based off of watching him and talking with ex-linebackers that are colleagues of mine in town. They felt like he wasn't the same guy. If you're Deshaun Watson, you could go play in Seattle with Tyler Lockett, who I think is maybe the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL, one of the best deep threats that you'll see out there, a guy that the Texans wanted really badly in the draft back in 2015, but the Seahawks swooped in front, took him, and the Texans got stuck with Jalen Strong. And they also have DK Metcalf, who is awesome. Two, there are a lot of reasons that Watson would maybe want to go there, and I feel like this is definitely the time to pick up the phone and try to make something happen. I'm sure the Seahawks would definitely think about it unless there's somebody at the NFL Combine, say Malik Willis, that they fell in love with.
If you're Deshaun Watson, you want to go to a complete team. Like, you want to go somewhere where you can compete for a championship, and you may say, well, every player does. Yeah, but when you're a quarterback that's been on this Texans team,
yeah.
Even before, I mean, everybody needs to remember that even before these accusations came to be, he wanted out. So if you're Deshaun, I think you're looking for a complete team. You could get a lot of pieces, like you said, in Seattle. You could also get the whole package with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So
they're weird, though, because they're a little older now, and I do just wonder about Bruce Arians without Tom Brady.
Yeah, but Bruce Arians, among owners and GMs in the league, has an incredible reputation.
He does.
And among agents. Agents like Bruce Arians.
A lot of people like Bruce Arians. He's forward-thinking. There's a lot of things that he does well. But I think over the last couple of years, some things have come out.
They won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, they did.
They're a pretty complete team.
I also take a look at Bruce Arians, and I don't think that he has the same drive that he used
to,
based off of some of the stories coming out.
You may not have much of a choice past a certain point once you deal with this on Friday. All right, coming up, the MLB lockout continues. It seems like we're getting closer, but then again, it kind of seemed like we were getting closer last week, too. So here's the latest. We'll have the latest from Bob Nightingale and John Heyman coming up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
After 45 years in the same location, Zadok Jewelers has finally moved just down the street. More than a store, it's an experience. Stunning new watch boutiques, in-house jewelry design studios, comfortable lounges, and an incredible selection of loose diamonds, engagement rings, jewelry, and over 30 of the finest Swiss watch brands await you at the new Zadok Jewelers. The Zadok family and staff are dedicated to making sure you always find the attainable luxury and outstanding service synonymous with Zadok Jewelers. Visit our new home at Post Oak in San Felipe or at Zadok.com. Now, more than ever, there are jewelry stores, and then there's Zadok's.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the MLB lockout continues, and what we saw yesterday from all of the reporters from Marley Rivera, John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, is that it seems like we're getting closer. I'm not super optimistic because we've been quote-unquote closer a couple of different times.
Right.
But this is the latest. This is from Bob Nightingale, who is boots on the ground. The international draft appears to be the last big remaining obstacle to reach a labor deal today. Now, this is about an hour ago. MLB badly seeks it and will eliminate all qualifying offers for free agents in return. The union is still opposed as it receives input from players, former players, and agents. Nightingale adds in a follow-up tweet that if an agreement is reached today, the tentative plan would be for opening day to be April 6th or 7th. With the regular season extended by 3 days. The other missed games from the week-long delay would be made up in doubleheaders. So you and I have laughed about this. The narrative has just been, oh my God, this was 2 weeks ago. If the deal is not done today, we will miss 2 weeks of the season. And then MLB's like, okay, fine, we'll wait another day. And then MLB's like, okay, fine, another week. It's like when you're wanting to break up with a guy and you just keep waiting. And not that I've done that.
Oh, no, that sounds like it comes from experience. So what was it that kept you from breaking up? You're just procrastinating you got to give me a comment. One reason.
Procrastination, comfort, whatever. But we all do this, right? And I know you with your Twitch dates or your Bumble dates.
My Twitch dates? That would be new.
Your Bumble dates.
I don't know if the people that are watching on Twitch would want to date with your friend Paul.
You just keep something going on longer than it should be. And with this, it's like they've just kept it going when at any point, and then the deadline keeps getting extended.
Okay.
So today, they're saying we can still have a full season. But do you remember 2 weeks ago, it was, if we don't get it done today, there's no way there's a full season. It's like they're making it up as they go along.
They can still have a full season, even if they get it done a couple of days from now. Because, they said that yesterday was a hard deadline, and then we heard no actual talks about how they were canceling more games. So I don't know why the international draft off the top of my head would be an obstacle other than the players perhaps just dragging their feet to be as difficult as possible and get as much as they possibly can out of the owners. But a couple of other things that were proposed, and I saw this late last night from John Heyman through one of my burner Twitter accounts because...
You have a burner?
It's basically just my podcast, the Gallant Says Podcast Twitter account. So I just switched over to it. There's basically four people that are at the top that I've searched for, and these are all people that have blocked me. That I have to go over to this app to check to see sometimes some of the things that they tweeted. So 12-team postseason is looking like it's going to happen. There was the idea of a 14-team postseason that was proposed that would have five-game initial series with teams having ghost wins. I didn't feel like looking that up. I was like, what the hell is a ghost win? Apparently the players were cool with the ghost wins, the owners not so much. They also wanted a fourth tier, Vanessa, for the biggest spenders, which right now for the luxury tax. So if you go over a certain threshold by a certain amount, you'd get really punished. And the really rich teams are going to be like, we don't care. That would be the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets.
New York Yankees.
No, it's not even the Yankees right now. Isn't that crazy, though?
The Mets owner is the richest in, all of baseball.
Seriously.
Right?
It's funny to think of.
And he needs to stay off Twitter.
I don't know. I like the spice. I like an active owner. You know, Mark Cuban, same thing. I like an active owner involved with the sport.
I agree.
Someone who's actually going to sign his name as opposed to most of these owners who are complete chumps and hide. You know, at least Steve Cohen puts himself out there. Whether or not he's a good owner, that's another thing. But the international draft is the big holdup. There was a deal that was struck yesterday, Vanessa.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was a deal struck in baseball. A TV deal with Apple TV Plus. So guess what?
Who cares?
If you're someone who cut the cord already and you want to watch baseball, now you could get another app that you don't probably need for anything other than the two games that you'll see a week on it at most. Congratulations, baseball. You're just continuing to win people over.
A lot of times people complain about things related to sports and it's just like old curmudgeons. Here's where the legit complaint is with baseball right now. Obviously, the sport's not in a great place as far as growth goes. And then as far as you said, the combine is getting better ratings than certain baseball games, right? But where the complaint is legitimate is that at this point, you have all of these baseball games and now a chunk of them are on YouTube. Remember the Astros games that were on YouTube?
Yeah, with terrible
now,
commentary.
Now, a chunk of them Oh, It Gets Better are going to be on Peacock, but only for 2 years.
Ooh, the cock. Gotcha.
Because NBC is not committing past 2 years. And a chunk of them are going to be on Apple. And then, oh, by the way, you still have to subscribe or stream your regional sports network.
And there's ESPN, too, on
and
top
there's
of that.
ESPN.
You're so
and
right.
And there's Fox.
Yep. Oh, guess what? Also, there's Turner.
Turner. And that's like seven.
There's so many things that they're broadcasting on. And you know what? I got Fubo TV entirely so I can watch the Astros and Rockets on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. Guess what? Fubo TV doesn't have Vanessa with the NCAA tournament right around the corner. Doesn't have TNT. Doesn't have Turner.
YouTube TV went through a long period of time where they didn't get any of the regional networks. So a lot of people bought YouTube TV so that they could, you know, like in my home state, get the Indiana Pacers or here get the Rockets. And then there was the carriage deal that wasn't working out.
They're so backwards. They're it's so bad. Dependent on these regional sports network and the local deals that they cut with Xfinity or UVerse or DirecTV. And so many people are getting rid of it. And they instead of saying, okay, well, let's try to streamline the process so that we can have people get as much baseball as possible. It's like, no, if you really like baseball, we're going to make it really hard
really
for you
difficult.
To watch all the baseball that you want. And some of these Apple TV games, Vanessa, Apple Plus, they're only going to be on Apple Plus. So you can't even watch them on your local network.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it.
If I'm an Astros fan, I'm just going to turn on the radio and listen to Bob Ford and Steve just have at it. Like Robert Ford. Like, I will be
listening to Patrick Creighton watching the game on television, actually. You know,
that's
late hits with ESPN 97.5.
Have fun.
I ain't listening to that network.
The Astros radio?
No, absolutely not.
Why?
No, because I had a better call of the World Series win back in the day.
You had a better call than the actual broadcast.
Yeah, who else said when the team that he follows won the World Series, who else said, let's go, bitches? Because that is what your boy did. You know, you could have had like the, oh, and there's a grandma, and the Astros are
Can
World
you say
Series
that
champions.
Word on the radio?
Yeah.
Can just you it. Really?
Yeah, you can.
This is the difference between radio
Welcome
and
to radio, Vanessa. You can say learning. So many different things.
Marley Rivera from ESPN. Marley Rivera is very, very connected to the players to the point to where her profile picture on Twitter is the grayed out AV that all the...
Mm-hmm.
Is it AV? Whatever.
Avi.
Avi, yeah. Marley Rivera about 7 minutes ago. Source tells me that MLB/MLBPA negotiations are ongoing and that the biggest hurdle right now is direct compensation versus international draft, similar to what we just heard from Nightingale. But those are not... Here's the additum.
Oh.
But those are not the only issues, just the main hurdle. Both sides with a lot of negotiating left. This is where I'm like, wah, wah, and brought down to the reality that although the international draft may be the biggest issue, I'm just not hopeful that this is going to get done soon.
Todd, the show on our Twitch, twitch.tv. See, I'm learning things too. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And you can also text into the show as well. But the Astros signed 15 international players so far this year. The international draft would probably affect them the most. That certainly could be a reason that maybe some owners look at this situation and say, come on, you know, let's go here. By the way, also the phone number to text in, 713-780-3776.
Oh, yeah, text us.
Yeah. You know, we're not just on the Twitch or the Twitter.
Yeah, we're
you know,
multifaceted.
We
here.
May shamelessly plug our Twitter handles more than anything so that we can get a couple of followers because that's what we're all about, the followers these days. That's what I'm all about, actually.
We're multi-platform. Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the biggest thing from this past week has been how much MLB has taken a backseat to all things NFL
and its
offseason.
I mean, it's not
and
surprising.
And it's not, it's like, yesterday's a given. It's not just like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, ooh. It's like combine, free agency.
Yeah.
All of these different things that the upcoming draft.
Because baseball doesn't know how to generate drama unless baseball's generating drama because these two sides are bitching and moaning at each other while everyone sits back and they're like, stop fighting in public. You're two drunk people at a bar. We all want you out. We all want you kicked out. Bouncers, please come here. Get you out of here. That's the only thing that they're good at is bickering with each other. Or, okay, someone may or may not have done steroids. Let's argue about that. Oh, remember the Pete Rose argument that we used to have for like 20 years before everyone forgot who Pete Rose was?
Yeah,
let's do that again. Like that's all baseball's good at. Like it does not know how to manufacture anything from the entirety of its 162-game season outside of the people that watch every single game or most of the games. It doesn't know how to generate day-to-day drama, and they just don't know how to create off-season drama anymore either. They forgot. And part of it has to do with the fact that because of the way that analytics has entered the game, that the big time contracts that you saw just thrown out willy-nilly, the big splashes, those just don't happen in the same way that they used to.
In a world of analytics with baseball, too, like the whole Moneyball deal, I think that's why some people like Dusty Baker so much, is he has that like OG old school baseball swagger.
Oh yeah, exactly. Even if he is completely like, yeah, analytics are stupid, it's for nerds or something like that, which I don't think he's
the
one
to do. He finds a way
to
class up saying that, yeah. though. Like Dusty Baker will say, yeah, I talked to James Click and we're able to negotiate on certain, like, and
I'll be
you
honest,
just
though.
Know they just don't.
You know, I will never ever, Vanessa, act as if I know more about baseball than I actually do. Most people know I'm a very casual baseball fan.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow the team that's right in front of me. I will stay barely aware of things that are happening across the sport. But the people that are so on top of the numbers and try to force it into conversation all the time, shut up. I don't want to hear from you. You are not fun. You do not entertain me. I would rather have some crazy person be totally wrong and come at me with a take than I'm like, yeah, well, that's something.
Is
as opposed
why-
to someone bringing up someone's Klongdorp and their glong clam flamp. These are advanced statistics that I just made up. I don't care about those.
Is that why baseball writers are so jaded? Because they know like nobody cares about what they're reading most of the time?
I don't know. They just don't seem to have fun either.
No, you
know,
they don't enjoy things.
Yeah, like they just seem so beat down by the world. It's like you go to a baseball game every night. I mean, that's pretty relaxed, you would think. But they're so serious.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think they could all afford to lighten up a little bit. You know, smoke a doobie while you're watching the game. Come on.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the latest on Deshaun Watson. We're going to talk about that, plus the franchise tags. We thought franchise tags would be the big story of yesterday, and boy, were we wrong. But mm-hmm. It is still relevant. That's coming up.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
On the radio, all I hear is sell us your house, sell us your car, sell us your dog, sell us your wife, and sell us your children. My name's John Clay Wolf, and I created GiveMeTheVIN.com. First guy to ever advertise sell us your car on the radio. Been doing it 30 years. Everybody copied me, man. I got to come up with a new deal. No, I don't, because we're the best car buyer in the United States of America. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, so I know Donald Trump is like a no talk about now, but did you ever watch The Apprentice where this was the theme
yes.
song? My family and I loved The Apprentice.
Oh, I did too. That was a fantastic TV show. Omarosa, one of the best reality TV show villains that we've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Also, a funny thing about that song, there was a guy in my grade named Patrick who would regularly sing that theme song, but he would go up to me and he would say, Polly, 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 Polly. I remember that regularly.
That show made me like Ivanka because she would always
She was on
like,
the show?
She was. Yeah,
I don't remember
she tried
that.
To like mild out her dad. But yeah, that you're fired.
That was the first
Classic.
Reality TV show I actually watched.
We liked that in American Idol.
Survivor I watched a little bit of, but The Apprentice was amazing. I think I was rooting for Cowboy Troy the first
yes.
season. It's like, oh, he's got a cowboy
he
hat. He's cool.
He was with Big and Rich. He was
well, come yeah. to your city.
He should never sing.
Well, that's them, right?
Country,
that's their song.
That is. All right, Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa. He is Gallant. And we're talking about the latest with Deshaun Watson. This has been obviously an ongoing storyline for about a year now with all of these cases, all the accusations, 22 civil cases. There's 10 that have been filed with HPD. And then, of course, you have the element of the NFL investigation. Deshaun is set to be deposed this Friday, and a grand jury will convene. This is a lot of legal talk, but
do
in
I let
general,
someone else do it for us?
Grand juries meet to discuss the consideration of felony charges, so like the serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that we'll know for sure this Friday whether or not he's indicted, because mm-hmm. these things can take more than one session.
Yeah,
but obviously this is something that's going to be worth watching and following along.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network actually laid it all out on the NFL Network, and in a nutshell, here's what's going to happen.
The district attorney investigating Deshaun Watson plans to present her case to the grand jury
On Friday, several women who filed criminal complaints against Deshaun Watson are expected to testify. Now, this is the same day that Watson has his civil deposition, so expect him to plead the fifth. So what he says essentially in the civil lawsuit cannot be used against him in the criminal standard procedure when it as it pertains to the legal situation there.
Harden has said, Rusty Harden, the fifth. So I would not expect to learn that much on Friday. But I suppose that we could be thrown a curveball and maybe there is something that is said or a question that is asked that Watson accidentally forgets.
But the deposition is separate from the grand jury, right? These are two different things that are happening.
I believe so. But I think they're both happening on the same day.
They are. And that's where it's confusing is because like the grand jury, like you can't say anything. Like a grand jury just presents. You don't like defend yourself. And then the deposition is separate. If you're a lawyer, by the way...
Honestly, I was convinced.
Yeah.
You had me convinced.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because my lawyering skills are like that of Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Am
That's
I a bird
great
lawyer?
Show.
Perhaps, yes.
But yeah, I mean, either way, like regardless, we should know more within the coming weeks. Rusty Harden has said that he thinks we're going to know a lot by April 1st. That was his date.
Okay, sure.
But he has also, and I have a lot of respect for Rusty. I like Rusty a lot, but he has said that this was going to be wrapped up for a while now.
Right. And look, they all do their Peacock show whenever they can. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were trying to delay this as much as possible. But then it was this week where Rusty Harden's like, yeah, we're excited for it to take place on Friday. It was like, wait a second. No, you weren't that long ago. You were trying to get it delayed. What are you talking about? So that is interesting at the very least. But yep. We'll figure it out soon, and hopefully this thing gets resolved, and we
separate.
Can get that dude the hell out of town and stop talking about it, because God dang
yeah, this
it.
This is from John Barr of ESPN. So the grand jury will hear evidence Friday in the case, and this is the same day he will also face questions for the first time in at least some of his pending civil lawsuits. So it's not all the civil lawsuits, because if you remember, the judge said that it can only be certain lawsuits that are involved in criminal and for the women that have already been deposed. So for the women that have had the chance to say their piece in their deposition, etc. So yeah, Rusty Harden has told Deshaun Watson he needs to just plead the fifth.
Lawyer stuff. Yes.
Lawyer stuff. He said, I'm not going to let him answer questions from anybody before that grand jury has made its decision. There's not a lawyer in the country that would, Harden told ESPN on Tuesday night.
Vaudia.
So yeah, I mean, this isn't something that's super rare. I think this is something that Rusty Harden is a master at making sure that you know that what he's doing is not unique, right?
Correct.
So he's saying like any lawyer in the country would. That's probably true. Here's my question for you. Is it almost like the fact that there's so many of them, does that almost dilute it a little bit? Because it's almost like a lot of people around the NFL have stopped talking about this to where if it were one or two or three, it would be different.
I think it's they don't know how to.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. It is interesting. The sheer volume makes it seem like statistics when it's, you know, it's 22
it's a lot.
Separate people, all of whom have different stories, some of whom maybe are a little bit shaky in terms of the foundation they're
sure.
set upon. But others are probably pretty convincing and would be pretty difficult, I think, to see some of these women facing these questions. I know this is an entirely different thing, but I don't know how many of y'all have been watching on Hulu the Pam and Tommy show about the
Pamela Anderson
and Tommy Lee sex tape that's come out starring Lily James and the guy who plays Bucky in Avengers. I got to say, it's been very good. And there was a scene where they show Pamela Anderson getting deposed and just getting asked all sorts of questions that you're like, wait, this can be asked seriously? Because technically it's not court. But they're asking just such questions that are insulting in nature and dehumanizing and stuff to try and, I guess, get a reaction, to get a strong response that maybe they can actually, you know, throw one of the testimonies out because of it. So, yeah, I would think about it from that perspective. You know, we would all like to get to the end of this. So, again, we can stop talking about it. But it's going to be a really tough day for those women, and I feel for
them.
It sucks because it's because of this guy, right? And look, maybe some of these stories are blown out of proportion, but this guy has 22 allegations against him. Let's not pretend like this isn't he hasn't done something wrong. He has. I get it. It's a court of public opinion. I'm not a lawyer. Innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada.
And everybody's
22!
Allowed, yeah, everybody's allowed to have their opinion.
Right.
I think some of the women have said that the questions from the NFL investigation led by Lisa Friel, they felt were inappropriate. Like, what were
of course.
You wearing, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to get questioned. They're going to get questioned hard. Once the grand jury process is concluded, says Rusty Hardin, we intend for Deshaun Watson to start answering questions in the depositions.
Mm.
So maybe we'll learn more once this grand jury has concluded. In other news yesterday, it was franchise tag day.
Correct, it was.
And Jaguars. Hold on.
Try it again.
Jaguars.
You got it.
So should I just say Jags?
That works.
All right, the Jags.
You got it the second time, though. You
tagged know? You could hear like the Midwest.
You're not saying
me.
It. Well,
Jaguars.
Jaguars. Yeah. See, you know what? I'd rather you say it like that than the way that the limey bastards say it. You know, those English oppressors who, you know, come over here with their cars acting like they're
say?
Good. Jaguar.
Oh.
And it's funny because the Jaguars might move to London and it'd be the London Jaguars. Jaguar.
That might be the move within 5 years.
Different automobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Devontae Adams from the Packers, but we kind of expected that one mm-hmm. once Aaron Rodgers announced he was returning.
Let's go back to Cam Robinson for a second because it does affect the Texans, Vanessa, from this yeah. perspective. So they have now given franchise tag to Cam Robinson twice, a second straight year. I don't know what that means long term for the Jaguars or if they're totally out of the market for potentially looking for an offensive lineman with the first overall pick in this year's draft. But you would think that that means that tackle isn't necessarily their biggest priority. So maybe they're going to be going after Aiden Hutchinson, that number one overall pick, a pass rusher, as opposed to drafting a tackle like Ikem Ekwonu or Evan Neal or something like that. I feel like, you know, at this point you can start to read the tea leaves based off of some of the moves that teams make. And I feel like this means that the Jaguars are probably going to draft a pass rusher with that first overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, if they have what they need and if they have a blocked down, I think that's any move that one of the teams that's around the Texans, as far as orders of when they pick, those are moves to watch.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the Jags and some of the other teams that have struggled immensely, the Cowboys tagged their tight end Dalton Schultz.
Right.
It was announced last week from Adam Schefter. They're expected to move on from Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some talk there for sure.
Amari Cooper will be an interesting acquisition for, I would imagine, some contending football team.
He's still young. He's like, what, 27?
He's had a weird career, too,
yeah.
where the first couple of years in the league, he you know, people were looking at him in with the Raiders, and they're like, what the hell's going on? Why isn't it working? Maybe he and Derek Carr weren't compatible. Then he goes to the Cowboys, and he looked incredible. And they give him that $100 million contract, and everyone was like, what, $100 million? But it was really a two-year, $40 million deal. So they weren't that thrilled with him, and they want to extend Michael Gallup as opposed to extending Amari Cooper. Yeah, I'm curious as to where he'll land. The Cowboys are in a weird spot, though, where you saw yesterday, too, that they reworked Dak Prescott's contract, Zach Martin's contract. They freed up $22 million in cap space. DeMarcus Lawrence might be getting cut. They're in a weird spot, and I think it was Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football the other day. Vanessa, I know you love that show.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Who said, like, yeah, I'm kind of tired of the Cowboys.
Yeah. I tweeted this out, by the way, if you'd like to go to my Twitter at SportsMess and see it. Yeah, like what Kyle Brandt said was basically that he's tired of like people acting every year like the Cowboys have a shot.
Yeah. I mean, they have a shot to win the NFC East, but congratulations. Would the Texans? You know,
right.
Like that's how bad things are. And when you lose to the 49ers the way that they did, where they're just like pooping all over themselves, all over that game. You know, thanks, Mike McCarthy. Thanks for that touch.
Jane Slater from NFL Network reporting this morning. As for Cowboys, Michael Gallup, I'm told a deal is getting closer and could hear news of that deal soon.
Okay.
No news or progress still in the way of DeMarcus Lawrence. Jane says, I should remind you how bleak the last talks were for a contract.
Bleak.
And then it got done. So wait and see here, too. All right. So that's the latest with America's team. God.
In the bleak midwinter. That's where the Cowboys are.
Yeah, no way. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to recap everything that happened yesterday, how it could impact the Texans, how it could impact the talks with Deshaun Watson after what was a crazy quarterback day in the NFL. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You could, of course, stream us on Twitch and the ESPN app. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.